It's a matter of what? Let allowing. That he was talking to believers who have been buried with Christ Jesus. He says, sin is that which you let happen. He said, do not go on verse 13, presenting yourselves, presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments. That is, a believer's walk in sin is a deliberate decision that he made. Now, you may not understand how he did it. I'll talk about that in a moment. To continue, because if he interrupted it, he will find something out that's not struggle with him. In chapter 7, Paul described the man in struggle with sin. The man hearing that thou shalt not steal and trying not to steal. Listen, you know what John said? If we are tempted, is it John that said it or James? Who said it now? James. Alright? He said we are tempted when we are drawn away. Now, the point is this, by our own lust. What I'm trying to bring out here is this. It's all Satan can do to the child of God, listen, is to do what? Tempt. To the unbeliever, Satan doesn't tempt. Did you hear me? He's in bondage to sin. It's not temptation. That's why you must never reason, trying to reason psychology of this and that with unbelievers. I was teaching in Eswich this morning and I was explaining something to them. I said, something led to it. You know, we're joking. I was joking with a student that, you know, that is in America, somebody will just wake up in the morning, a pastor of a church, and say, you see, tells his wife, really, I don't love you like I used to love you before. Actually, it is Sister Mary Jane that I'm always thinking about and loving. Therefore, I think let us just separate in peace. Since our calling of love is no longer walking side by side, therefore we shall divorce. And he comes to church. Brethren, sorry I came late. I was in the divorce court. The judge was granting me divorce. It breaks my heart to tell you this. But I'm also glad to announce to you that next week, Sister Mary Jane and I are getting married. And someone will just say, praise God. Oh, how sad. All right. What I wanted to teach you this morning is the gospel of... Not this spoil. Everybody just do it one way like. So I was telling people that said that they have forgotten. That's Christians. I'm not talking about people in the world, though. I'm talking about Christians. I said they have deliberately forgotten the power of a covenant. That is one. Then I'm adding it again this evening. What's a covenant? The covenant say, look, this is why it's a covenant. I didn't promise you always feel like loving your wife. I'm just saying that she's your wife by covenant. You don't love her, it's not a problem. It's not a problem at all. You don't feel like loving her again. We'll discuss that one later. But that she's not your wife, is impossible. You don't have the ability to undo it. I don't know whether you get my point. You can't walk up to your father and say that, you know what? I don't like you anymore. Therefore, you're no longer my father. That's your problem. It is not possible to change the fact that he is. Do you follow the point I'm making here? So that's the basic thing. The mistake people make, they think Christianity is working by feeling. So I don't feel like I love you again, and I feel like I love somebody else. So I should therefore feel, you know, let the feeling dictate where I go. Though I've made a covenant with you, the feeling is more important. And that's what we're talking about, what Paul is saying here. That you see, you have forgotten. You do not know that feeling is irrelevant. I don't know whether you're getting my point. And I said, irreconcilable differences. What is the irreconcilable difference? The irreconcilable difference is that you want to go west, you want to go. You know the interesting thing? Just by the way, for those who want to know, how do you solve the problem? If all of you are always, if two of you are always quarreling, and what if we keep ourselves in the house? You know what Paul says? No problem. Move to the next house. You move down the street. But it is not allowed for any one of you to remarry. If you do, you are walking in adultery. Listen, I'm giving you Bible. The one they are doing in America, is not Bible. Is it that? What if there's domestic violence? It is unfortunate. The solution to domestic violence is move out of the house, go to the next house. Greet each other from afar. Unfortunately, you are bound till death do you part, not till punches do you part. That's just by the way. It's because you have not been in there. I pray I will never be inside it. But the fact is, it is not according to what I have been inside, or what I enjoy, or what I don't enjoy. Are you getting my point? It's divine fact that this is the way it works. That Jesus said, except he gave some condition. The one that these Christians are doing these days, say he doesn't take care of me again. He comes home late from work. He doesn't have time for me and the children. I said something last time. For you, it's really when they see somebody else that now has time for them and the children that problems begin. I said something. Remember, I said the prodigal son. That I said, you I have with me always. Usually, when somebody has you with him always, he doesn't remember often to kill the fatal calf. Are you getting the principle? It's usually the person that doesn't have you always when you've come back home that kills the fatal calf. So it is natural. Hey, do you get what I'm saying? I read something somewhere. Why am I talking about this matter? Should I leave? Let me go back to what I'm saying. Maybe let me leave that side. I've been concentrating on my Romans chapter 6. But the point I'm making is this. It's not feeling. That's what I'm trying to use that to explain. It's when people start using feeling that they start misbehaving. So Paul said we should walk by facts, the knowledge of truth. Are you getting my point? What God has declared to be the truth. Now, this is what it is. So he's saying that when a Christian starts misbehaving like that, it is because he has deliberately, are you getting my point? Put himself and yielded his body as an instrument of unrighteousness. It is not because he's in bondage to sin. Anyone who's in bondage to sin is really not a believer yet. That's what Paul is explaining. He said, therefore, you are to consider yourself. Let me tell you what. That's what I was saying earlier. That Satan, all he can do is what? Tempt. Of course, one day your wife will vex you. You go vex your wife. It must happen. Then the love will fall to square zero. That is why they allow you to marry first. No, the world now turned upside down and said, if you live together for 2 years, see whether it will work. Let me tell you the truth, it never works. If it works, somebody's an idiot. No, they are muggles. They say good morning, you say how loud? Do you follow what I'm saying? Where two adults that have sense, decide to live together in code, it cannot work. That's why God starts it not, let's live together and see whether it will work. First, you start with what? A covenant. When you have done that, then when it stops working, it is too bad. You are bound. Even though it doesn't work, you are what? You are bound. That's the point I want you to understand. That's literally the principle behind it. You have a knowledge behind your mind that helps you take a giant step. You get what I'm saying? So that's the way it is with sin also. Paul said that no, for a believer, it is not, you are not in bondage. So you first start life with that perspective. I am free from sin. Do you get my point? And then God now begins to reveal, you now discover that actually it is simple. It is easy to walk above it because you start with the knowledge. Now, I will explain something that he said, therefore, do not go on yielding yourself, your members, as instruments of righteousness, of unrighteousness. Now, there's something I want to explain there also. He said, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. The reason, like I've been explaining, is that it is not allowed. Sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under what? Grace. Now, two things I want to explain. I want to explain the issue of being under grace, okay? And then that's after I've explained the issue of allowing and presenting your members. Now, I said earlier that Paul said, do not let sin reign. The problem is that believers let sin reign. I've said there's a difference between somebody who is in bondage to sin and somebody who lets sin reign. What do I mean by letting sin reign? There's a principle about life we all must understand about doors and, let me put it like this, doors and rooms. To get into the room, you need just space for one person. But you get into a room that can take 100. You can get into a room that can take 1,000 through one door. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a spiritual principle. Letting or not letting is as simple as opening and closing a door. But the effect is as powerful as a thousand persons containing auditorium. Are you getting my point? That's the effect. That is, if I don't want anybody in this room, I shut the door. It's easy to manage. It's easier than trying to throw out 1,000 people out of a hall. I don't know whether you get the point I'm making. The problem a lot of times is that people exercise their energy wrongly. They want to throw 1,000 people out of a hall instead of just not letting them enter. I don't know whether you get the point. That's why James will tell you, don't give room to the devil. You have to give him what? Room. You have the right to shut the door or to keep it open. Look, let me just explain that briefly. Because that's one problem with Christians. Paul was writing to believers in Galatians chapter 5. And he talks about sowing to the flesh and sowing to what? The spirit. If a Christian does not sow to the flesh, do you get me? He will not walk in sin. Let me explain what I mean. Some people want to travel abroad. They lie all kinds of lies. He said, do you get it? Are you married? Oh God, oh, which kind of temptation is this? In his heart. He said, bro, I didn't know what to say. I just couldn't say no. I had already gotten to that point. We had already spent 50,000 naira, 100,000 naira on the whole process. And if I said no now, you know, the whole thing might end there. I didn't know what to say. I just had to say yes. That was the beginning. No? And I said, do you have children? Yes, no. I haven't said yes that I have a wife. What's the next thing? And I said, no, I don't have children. I told them I have 5. Okay, let's just see. Now that we are in America or wherever, now the visa is expired. If I'm going to stay behind, I have to go and do contract marriage. I'm going to be very careful. I will not let no sin be named. I'm a child of God. I know. Satan is looking and say, yes, you are a child of God. Meanwhile, let me find a very good woman as for contract marriage. I know. I was reading that paper today. I was telling you about the contract marriage. The people are very smart. They follow you for 2 years to find out whether you are really married or you are trying to get paper. They give a temporary one and they start following you. So as a rule, you leave. No, you don't do contract marriage. Somebody is staying at the other one staying in Texas. It doesn't work. No. You live in the same house because they can come visit you anytime. They interview you. I was in the papers. It was very interesting. So the brother said, well, I don't even know what happened. It's just Satan. It's not Satan. No, I'm going somewhere. You know the door that was open to sin, that he let sin reign. The door was not when he contract married a crazy American. The door was when he made up his mind that if I don't get out of this country, I can never do well. Are you getting my point? That was when he opened the door. That was when sin entered. Are you getting my point? He let sin. And Jesus says something, when you cast out the spirit and it comes out, hello, oh, 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 the house is empty. Hello, oh, hello, 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 hello. This house is empty. Nobody there. He said, now let's go back in now. They remember how he was cast out the first time. So you know what he does? He first opens the door, he holds it open, and goes and brings 7 spirits. More violent, more deadly, the type that will be harder to cast out, more wicked than itself. He brings them. He said, boys, last time I lived here alone, it was risky. He just checked me out like this, boozer. That's it, I was gone. So guys, let's all gather together and stay here. So Brock starts with lying about wife and children. Next, he's living in adultery. Are you getting my point? Before you know what's happening, he said, I don't know how I got here. You know how he got here? He opened one door. Somewhere that time he was in Abakaliki. Or maybe in somewhere in Lagos. One corner of Lagos. He just kept one door open. And what is that door? And this is how sin is. Sin is deliberate disobedience to the word of God. Because before, when you're having that kind of mentality, God first sends words to you. That no, it is not so. You have to first agree with Satan. Has God said, thou shalt not eat? I said, if we eat, we will die. He said, you will not surely die. He said, are you sure? Yes, I'm telling you, are you an idiot? I said, you won't die. Eat it first now, see whether you will die. Forgetting that eating it first now is the disobedience we are talking about. Satan, all he does to the believer is what? Tempt. The man that is in bondage to him, what's the need for temptation? He instructs him and says, you bring your head, shoot that man. That one says, yes, sir. How many times? Twice. Okay, what? There's no temptation again. It's a sinner. That is, I wake up in sin, I sleep in sin, I'm, you know, sinner. It's not temptation that will sin. It's the believer that is to be tempted. I'm explaining the principle of what? Let. Paul was explaining that do not let. Don't let. Now, the next word I want you to notice that word rain before I get down to law and grace. It says, do not let sin reign. He said for verse 14, for sin shall not be master. Those are two words I wanted to note. Now, there's something there. If you read further down, you will see, let's read from verse 17. It said, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became what? Slaves of righteousness. I am speaking, he said in verse 19, of human in human terms, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in what? Sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, now I'll get down to that 21 again afterwards. I want to understand something here. Paul is explaining the difference between doors and the rooms, like I said earlier. He said, how did you become a slave in the first place of sin? It's by first yielding to small bits of disobedience. Now, let me explain what I mean. Verse 17 said, though you were slaves, you became obedient from the heart to what? A form of teaching. Now, please, notice that. You became obedient to what? A form of teaching. Let me tell you something as a believer. How you open doors or close doors to sin is a form of teaching that's in your mind. I don't know whether I get my point. That is where the obedience is and the disobedience. That now results either in more lawlessness or makes you a slave of righteousness, resulting in sanctification. No, this is the principle. It is not by struggling against one sin or another. It is by, know what Jesus said? Take my yoke. He said, come unto me all you that are. Labor, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, and I will give you what? Rest. He said, take my yoke upon thee. How do you do it? And learn of me. The way you become a slave of Jesus Christ is by learning of him. Therefore, the gospel comes to you. Look at that hypothetical man again. He said, if I don't get down to Australia, I can never prosper. God said, first, it doesn't work like that. He hears the gospel. One day, he accidentally tunes his radio, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, and one fellow from somewhere, one Pastor Bangi begins to shout, say, listen, it's a lie of Satan. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. If God sends you to Sahara Desert and follows you with his blessing, the man talks and talks and talks. His heart is quickened. Are you getting my point? After his heart has been quickened, God doesn't force anybody. He now leads him to make a choice. You can either say, that man never see. Forgetting that the man is not saying his opinion. He's a messenger of God. You are telling God he doesn't know what he's saying. And once you say that, God said, fine. He has rejected a form of teaching, and that is resulting in disobedience, leading to unrighteousness, and making him what? A slave of sin. That is why that guy, the first thing that to lie, saying, get a wife, get children. After that, by the time you see him 10 years later, Peter said he has forgotten that he was once cleansed from his sins. Listen, that is why I tell my wife, I am jealous for the word of God. Sometimes I hear things and I am angry. I tell people that, listen, I am jealous. I tell my wife, you know the issue? I am jealous for the word of God. I am jealous because I understand the power of God's word. I know if you give people wrong teachings, you lead them wrongly. It's not only that thing at that point, it's the things they will do later in the future that will be a consequence of the wrong teaching that they believed from your mouth. When God wants to judge, that is why Paul said, don't all desire to be teachers. Do your own and sin alone. No, so. You want to do iniquity? Let them judge you for your own iniquity. Not that when you have finished being judged for your iniquity, they now count 200 other people who listened to you. And as a result of that, they went to iniquity. So they say, okay, all of them, 2 lashes for each person. If you have sinned alone, 20 lashes. But two extra lashes times 200, that's your own 20 lashes plus 400 extra lashes. When they finish, Mel Gibson cannot even make a own movie. That's why Paul said, no, all of you, don't try to be teachers. Because the judgment for teachers, that is when you are instructing people on how to live life, be careful that you say only that which is right. Because concerning Jeroboam, it was spoken that the judgment was not only for the sin that Jeroboam committed, but for the one that he made Israel to commit. After sinning, he made the whole of Israel to commit the sin. Because this judgment is not easy. Go and tell him, nobody in his house will die a decent death. Not one. After they've died uselessly, they will not even get a decent burial, apart from that boy who is sick. Same thing with Ahab. It's not just their sin. It's the one they made other people what? Sin. That's why if you're a minister, listen, be careful. Paul said, the way you open the door or close it is obedience to a form of teaching. He said, when you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching that you were committed, you were freed from being a slave of sin, you became a slave. Are you getting my point? Of righteousness. Because of a simple thing, obedience to a form of teaching. You know why Christians sin? It's because they enjoy to listen to the wrong things. Because I tell you, look, this thing is teaching that started to teaching. Stupid teaching. Let me give you prayer point to pray. I pray this myself. Despite the fact that I'm a preacher and I preach, I say, God, may I not believe a lie? God, please, let me not believe a lie. Let me not teach people that which is not true. I was preaching somewhere one day. Somebody said, please, he said, I should tell you that this is your message is to encourage people to bring money. I turned to the guy who told me, I said, come here. I want to ask you a question that may I never ask you again in your lifetime. He said, what is it? I said, you dey mad? He said, laughing. I said, you dey crazy for head? They gave you that kind of message to give me and you had the effort to deliver it. He said, no, sorry. I said, no, in your life, make sure it's the last time I ask you that kind of question. This is where it begins. What nonsense? Paul said, this is how you open doors to Satan. He can't make you sin anyhow. He first starts by teaching you wrong things. He takes your conscience and kill it. That's where he starts. Sin is not a master over you. You have been delivered. Your body of sin has been nailed to the cross with Christ Jesus, has been buried with him in death, that you have been raised up again to the newness of life. If you walk in sin, that's because you listen to wrong things. That's why Paul is warning the people. He said, listen, be careful. It's only doors you can open for sin. You are not a slave. He now said, but you become a slave to the one that you obey. You open the small door. Are you getting my point? That's how it starts. So what was he saying? Let me just jump down to verse 20. Okay, let's read from 16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, it's presenting yourself now. That's what we are saying. Because it's not your master. You are the one that walked up to him. He said you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in what? Righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. How did you become a slave of righteousness? Because of obedience to a particular form of teaching. He said, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Now, he said, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? That is all the sin you committed. What did you gain from it? That's what he was saying. For the outcome of those things is death. That is, whether you are a slave or you do it deliberately, the fact is that if you walk in sin, the outcome is what? Death. The outcome is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome is what? Eternal life. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, which a man experiences when he becomes obedient to a particular form of teaching, are you getting my point? Which results in sanctification and further obedience, he said that free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you understand what I've explained so far? That's the way it works. First, obedience in little things, which starts as obedience to a particular form of teaching. That produces reconciliation, we said. We become reconciled. That is reconciliation, actually. And then he said, we are being sanctified. That is, the old things are being washed away. He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. He says, cleansing her by the washing of water. How? By the word. That's what God is doing. So there's a constant cleansing. And like I've explained again and again, as the wrong things being cleansed away from an area and obedience to the correct thing is coming in, what you reap there is what? Eternal life. That is, where things were dead, they begin to live. Listen, physical things are very temporal. If you say that this thing has been spoiled permanently, God said, forget, I can renew it if they come into obedience of righteousness. Anytime. That's how God works. I hope you get the point. Next time we're going to chapter 7, in which Paul was now explaining the issue of the man who is in bondage to sin. Then he went back in chapter 8 to explain the fact that we are no longer in bondage to sin. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's where actually I'm rushing to get to. He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. There was something I forgot. I said I was going to explain. He said, for you are not under law. Chapter 6 verse 14. He said, but you are under grace. This is the thing about grace. The Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 17. He said, the law came by Moses. He said, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Now, this is what it means, grace and truth. Grace and truth, law means, this is what is right to do, do it. This is what is right to do, do it. Don't do this, don't do that. And he walks away and leaves you with no ability to do it beyond that which is inherent in yourself. And Paul said in Romans chapter 7, because you had a body of death, therefore you had no choice. Though you know what is right to do, you desire to do that which is right, but your body does that which it wants to do. Because it's a slave of sin, it does that which is wrong. Are you getting the point? Are you getting what I'm going to say? Now, but this is the point. Jesus now said that by me comes what? Grace and truth. That I don't just tell you what is right to do. I give you the enablement to do them. Therefore, righteousness is natural and spontaneous. Just like sin is natural and spontaneous to the unbeliever, to the one who has believed in Christ Jesus, say righteousness is simple, is easy, it is what? Spontaneous. It just comes out of him naturally. That is the meaning of the word grace. We have not preached the gospel enough. If you have preached the real gospel, you will understand that walking with God is actually not hard. It's just being obedient to the right teaching. Jesus said, Jesus does not lie. He said, my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? Light. We think that God told Abraham, go and sacrifice Isaac. It was something he could bear. God does not tempt you more with that which is more than the one you can bear. That's God. As far as God understood, this guy can sacrifice Isaac. No matter how great it appears, sometimes I see people preach, say, I challenge God, test God, just to try. I say, no, the person has not yet been converted. I don't know whether I get my point. If you are still struggling, you have not been converted. If you are still struggling, you have not been what? Converted. You haven't been. You have not been. Somebody is still shouting. Let me tell you something about the power of the Christ Spirit inside somebody. Sometimes it needs to be stirred up, but doesn't need much effort to be stirred up. It doesn't. I give an example once of one before my eyes. A man tried to take an offering. For hours he was shouting. At the end, how many days? How much did he get? Another man wanted to do the same thing. He spoke for 15 minutes. Raised double what that guy did in 15 minutes of talk. and people were falling over themselves. That's something about the Christ spirit. It doesn't need too much cajoling. It may need to be stirred up, but it's like trying to look, if you want to light, if you want maybe water to burn, it takes time. You know, after a long time, you can probably make it, you know, use all kinds of things, heat it up, super heater. But if it's petrol, just once the fire crosses by, whoam, because it has a burning attitude. It may need to be stirred up, but it's not hard. You may need to stir it up, but it's not hard. Why? Because Jesus pours grace. Grace is the ability to walk in the will of God. I'm sure by now I have more than 100 definitions for grace. It's that ability that God deposits inside somebody, making it easy to walk in the will of God. He said the law came by Moses. Moses only told us what to do. So, but Jesus didn't just tell us what to do. He said, I write my laws upon their heart, so that a man doesn't have to tell his neighbor, know the Lord. That is, this is how God wants. No, out of his belly rises forth. He just knows what to do. That's what grace is. Grace came by Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, sin shall not be a master over you, because God has given you the empowerment to do the will of God. Are you getting the point? Let's stop there. We'll continue from there next time.